Thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God being alive in this place as always. We ask that the Holy Spirit, the revelator, the teacher to the church, that he will speak in and through me today, Father. I thank you, Lord, that grace will be deposited and truth will be imparted to all the hearers. We thank you, Father, for the body of Christ coming tonight to receive the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're talking about being in health. Being in health. Being in health. We looked at our main text, which was 3 John 2, which says, I wish above all things that you what? And what? According to what? God says, I wish above all. He said through John talking to Gaius, I wish above all things that the saints of God will prosper and be in health. I looked that up. That's financial prosperity. God's will is that you prosper. But of course, you know, you're not going to be financially blessed if you throw away more money than you make. You're not going to be healthy if you keep eating junk either. It doesn't matter if you bless it. I shared the illustration with you when the Lord spoke to me when I was out somewhere eating fast food, and I prayed and I said, God, I bless this food. I prayed your blessing be upon you. You cleanse and be nourishing for my body. And God said, I'm not going to bless that mess. I heard a voice clear as day say, I'm not going to bless that mess. And I couldn't argue with it because it was right. It was mess. I knew it was mess. I had enough knowledge it was mess. I had knowledge, and somebody said it best. I think Doris said it. When knowledge comes in, then you're held responsible. You're held responsible when you have knowledge. Now, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is dangerous. There's a lot of people going home to be with Jesus early because of ignorance. They didn't know any better. So Satan got advantage over them. The Bible says, be not ignorant or Satan will get an advantage over you. This is how it's working. We have to get in the know, and then we have to be doers of the word and act like we know. And I guarantee you, every promise in the Bible will come to pass. He promised that you would not have sick days, but you will be healed and healthy all the days of your life. We begin to look at that over in Psalms where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all thy benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and take away all thy diseases. God promised even the Old Testament saints, those that didn't know Jesus, I would take all your diseases away. We look in Isaiah 53 verses 53, verse 3 and 4. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. We look at 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, by Jesus' stripes in the past tense, after he's died, buried, and resurrected, by Jesus' stripes we were healed. We looked at where he went on in Matthew 4 and in Matthew 10, where he went out and he taught the word of God because you had to hear to have faith. He taught and we preached. We learned that preaching wasn't hooping and hollering. Preaching was proclaiming the good news. What's the good news? I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to be broke no more. I don't have to be bondage to sin anymore. I don't have to go to hell. That's good news. Satan does not have to rule and reign over me. I have authority over my body and authority over my life. That's good news. He taught the people preaching the good news of the gospel, and then he healed them all. God's will is that everybody be healed just as much as God's will is everybody be saved. We looked at the fact that healing and salvation were purchased at the same in the same 24 hours. The Bible says by Jesus' stripes, the stripes he endured the night before he was crucified, by his stripes, we are healed. The next day they put him on the cross, and by the shedding of his blood, we're saved. Those things are already paid for. They're already paid for. It's just a matter of receiving them. It's amazing. And we're looking a little bit here in just a moment. How many people pray and ask God to heal them? God's not doing anything to keep them sick. Some people pray to ask God to save them. No need to ask. When you ask him to save you, he doesn't do anything. When you ask to heal him, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything about what he's already done, all he's going to do. Are you asking Jesus to go on the cross and bleed again? He paid the price for the whole world. He shed his blood. What do you do with salvation? Do you ask for it or do you just receive it? Hadn't you heard ministers say receive salvation? Hadn't you heard Jesus say receive your healing? You know, you receive salvation. You don't ask for it. People have screwed that up, too. They use 1 John 1:9, which talks about being rededicating your life after you're born again. 1 John 1:9 is written to the children of Israel who are scattered abroad who believed in Jesus. It was written to New Testament saints, to Christians. And it says that we confess our sins to God. He is faithful and just and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I've heard people trying to get people saved on the scriptures meant to save people to get rededicated. That's just not correct. And see, I'm sorry, but there's a such thing in the Greek about the Bible called gnosis. And epignosis. What did I tell you gnosis was? Gnosis is a Greek word for knowledge. Epignosis is a Greek word for exact knowledge. Now, if you want to get something exactly from God, you better ask exactly according to his word, because he has exalted his word above his name. We'll look at that tonight. God will not break his word for anybody, for anything. He says, I am bound by my word. If he says this is what you must do to receive healing, you can't mean to do it and get the healing. You have to do it the way he said do it. If he says salvation, you remember 1 John, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, whosoever will confess with their mouth the Lord God Jesus Christ and believe in their heart that God raised from dead, that person would be saved. Now, that's the same thing about ask God to get saved. Don't say nothing about asking God at all. It said whosoever would just do their part. Confess with your mouth, Jesus be Lord, and believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. You have to do it. God didn't do anything else. He's not going to go on the cross again. Same thing with healing. And he even looks at healing and says, you're already healed. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. But it's not a manifested fact unless you receive it. And how do you receive it? By faith. By faith. But if you don't have the word of God, how can you have faith when faith comes by hearing the word of God? You don't have the word of God. But how are you going to hear the word of God and be transformed and change your mind? If we go back to Romans 12, how can we not be conformed to this world unless we renew our mind to the word of God? How can that happen? And how can we get the word of God said we have a preacher? And if we go to a church where they don't preach the word of God, how are we ever going to know? Maybe we study the Bible, but a lot of people follow the preacher. If he ain't studying the Bible, they ain't going to study it either. They're not. You know how many churches you don't even need to bring your Bible? Because the preacher is going to do what we call preach from a scripture. You throw out a scripture, it's got nothing to do with what you're saying. You just took the title out of it and take off. Just take off. You never explain it. You never put the scripture with it. And then you go. And at the end, you go on. Everybody go away. There's no support for what we're saying. And that's why people really have no faith in it, because deep down they say there's no support. And you ask people, how many Christians are so ignorant, it's pathetic. You ask them, why do they believe what they believe? And even if they believe what's right, they don't know why they believe it. That's why in membership class, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We make, require anybody who's going to be a member of Joy Faith Christian Center to go through those 8 membership classes, because how are we going to walk together except we be agreed? I want you to know what we believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we believe about salvation, what we believe about the role of the pastor, what we believe about the role of the member, and we're in covenant. And I take the covenant very serious. That's where I am. I'm not looking for anybody to break their end of the covenant and expect me to keep my end. If you don't come to church, you don't do those things. If you don't want me to pastor you, I won't pastor you. But don't expect me to be your pastor. We've had people do weird things like come to the church, then not come to church for a year and a half, die, and then want you to bury them. Several years ago, I buried a person, and that person hadn't been to church over a year and a half. But they never did enroll in another church, so they just assumed that the family just assumed they still belong here. I wouldn't well with my right saying, no, I have no obligation to them. I have no covenant. They were a parent of a close friend of mine, so we went, and they used to be a member, and it was the last church in a row I did anyway. But don't you understand, covenant is broken, I have no obligation. I have an obligation before God to teach you the word of God, whether you like it or not. So if you leave, fine. If I preach, fine. I just want to preach the word. And that's what we do. And the people that are here tonight are the kind of individuals that want to hear the word, hungry for the word. And as we draw, God will give to us tonight. God will give to us. Let's expect great things of God. We began last night with Proverbs. Flip back over to Proverbs 3. And we had shifted gears beyond God's will to heal. We know it's God's will to heal. I can show you a myriad of other scriptures, but we know it's God's will to heal. Study it out if you're not convinced by what we had, or get the tapes and let faith come by hearing. And we said that if you want to receive the healing of God, one thing you got to do is obey God, because disobedience is one of the reasons to prevent people from getting healing. Some people have asked God. Some people have confessed, God, heal me. They've done everything they know to do, but they still won't obey God in some areas. I know one minister. Brother Hagin tells the story. You might know him if I call his name, so I'm not going to call his name, but he's dead. Some of you wouldn't know him. He died when he was 35. He was out doing 47 through 58 during the great healing revivals. And this man was known all over the country. He was almost big as Oral Roberts. Everybody knew him. He had an anointing on him like Benny Hinn. You wouldn't believe folks were getting healed right and left. Tremendous things was happening in his ministry. And the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin to go share something with him. And I guess when you don't obey God, sometimes mercy won't let somebody let you know. But he went, and he was another minister talking to another minister. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you, if you don't judge yourself concerning your eating, you'll be dead before age 35. He was like 33 then. And the man looked at Brother Hagin and said, I know. I'm going to get that. I know. He never made the adjustment. He was dead by 35. Cut short in his prime. Died, of course, of complications related to illness, to disease he had. God had warned him in advance. Maybe God's warning some of us in advance. Are we going to listen, or are we just going to go on? You know it's easy to go on. All you got to do is keep listening to flesh. Because as soon as somebody tells you you ought to do right, your flesh will say, don't worry about them. They're crazy. Don't pay them no attention. See, before the flesh will even let you check it out, the flesh would tell you, don't do that. Why? Because the flesh want to eat what it want to eat, do what it want to do, wear what it want to wear, be what it want to wear. The flesh likes life simple. I don't want to think about nothing. I just want to feel. If it makes me feel good. Like my friend in college used to say, if it's good for you, it got to be good for you. That's what he believed. Now, of course, he didn't have much sense either. But that's what he believed. And that's the way the flesh is. The flesh is, if it's good to me, it's good for me. The flesh would destroy itself. Then he have enough sense not to destroy itself. But the spirit man has enough sense to hook up with God and the wisdom of God and live. And live. Let's look here again. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8 we were reading, and then we'll go from there. Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. Talking about how you can get healed. You have got, we looked first, be born again, so the healing is entitled to you. And then we begin to look at the healing's part of salvation. Then we say that you got to obey God. If there's an area where you're disobedient, if there's something in your heart you know should do, maybe God's telling you to read a certain book of the Bible. Maybe God's telling you to go to church regular. Maybe God's telling you to go find a good church, believing for a good church. Maybe God's telling you to forgive that person who's wronged you years ago. Maybe God's telling you something to do and you just being stubborn not doing it. There's evidence where people who disobey God, sickness remained and even came upon them because of disobedience. Even the children of Israel as a whole, when they obeyed God and kept his commandments, none of the sicknesses or diseases of Egypt were upon them. But when they disobeyed God, when God told them, even when they were in Egypt coming out, he said, look, children of Israel, go and kill the goat and put the blood over the mantle of your door. And then when the death angel sees that, he'll pass over you. Some folk didn't do it. And their firstborn died. Other ones did it. And then they lived. Disobedience can bring death, not just in that setting, but in other areas. If I eat whatever I want to eat, my flesh, and I don't eat based on what God says eat, don't you know that's disobedience to God's diet? And I'll still go to heaven, but I'll get there a little bit early. A little bit early than he intended for me to go. Let's look here. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart, which we learned was thy soul, thy mind, will, emotions, keep my commandments for length of days. If we keep the commandments of God, he will give us length of days and a long life. And he'll give us peace, a long life, length of days, and peace shall they add unto you. They what? The commandments of God. The word of God will add length to your life. It will give you long days on this earth in peace, which means health. Emotional health, physical health, and spiritual health. You will be prosperous, you'll be blessed, and you'll be in health. Let not mercy or truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shall thou find favor. You'll find favor if you keep the commandments of God, and you shall find favor and good. It says understanding, but in the literal Hebrew it says good success. You'll find good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord, though, with all thy heart. Trust in the word of God, despite what you feel or think. Trust in the word of God with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. It must be possible to have an understanding within yourself that's contrary to an understanding of the word of God. And God's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart in his way of doing things. Don't lean on your understanding. And that includes the understanding you adopted from the world matrix of how to eat, or the world's matrix of how to treat people, or the world's matrix of how to get ahead in life, or the world matrix of how to raise and parent your kids. The world says don't spank your kids. I'm not saying go around just spanking kids for no reason. Don't be that kind of person. But the Bible says, it doesn't say if you spare the rod, you spoil the child like most people think. The Bible says it a lot stronger. They say if you beat the rod, child with the rod, you'll not kill them, but you will drive foolishness far from their heart. And there's a lot of foolish children who grow up to be foolish adults need a little more rod. Every child does not need to be spanked. Some children, just your disapproval is enough. If you got those kind of kids, praise God, thank God for them. I didn't get them kind. Every now and then they need a little spanking, but they act so wonderful after they get it. It's almost like they need it. How many people can attest to sometime when you had to spank children? You don't want to, but you have to because you love them and you got to drive foolishness far from them. You spank them. You don't abuse them. God gave them a nice little position down there. Like I said, if you apply the seed of education, if you apply the board of education to the seed of knowledge, you'll get the point across. If you apply the board of education to the seed of knowledge, they'll get revelation. And then they will be able to control themselves. And remember discipline, quick parenting lesson. You can't make a child do anything. All you can do is make the consequence of not doing what you want them to do great enough that they make the decision to discipline themselves. That's why you don't make people discipline. You teach people discipline. Hey, if I told you don't go out and you went out anyway, I'm going to spank you. And the next time you're going to sit there and say, now, I want to go out. Flesh talking. I want to go out. Spirit saying, you better not go out. Dad said, don't go out. Dad created the environment that you're going to get your butt beat so bad that you say, shut up, flesh. And then you learn to deny your flesh and to do what's right. And that's what people are doing wrong now. They won't do what's right. They know what right is, just won't do it. Undisciplined. Christians are the same way. Pastors are not disciplining them. They let them come whenever they want to, act however they want to, do whatever they want to. I'd rather see you go to another church and leave than let you stay here and cut up. I love you too much, and I love the other people too much to leave you here cutting up. You know, we want to grow in God, and we only want people growing God. Hadn't said in a long time, but you know my motto, grow or go. Just get on out of here. We ain't got to have you. I love you. I can love you at somebody else's church, too. I love you. Not trying to get rid of nobody. But if you don't want to grow, you're only going to stop up what God's trying to do. We want people who want to grow in God. People who are going to go home and go over the notes. People who are going to study. Because I'm not trying to run a nursery here, a spiritual nursery. And most churches and most pastors have a big spiritual nursery. People couldn't believe their way out of a wet paper bag. You start talking about hook up with us in faith. They don't even know what you're talking about. But we've taught it and you guys know it. That's why we can do things. We don't beg for money. We don't need second and third offerings. We never take up Sunday school offerings or nothing else. We don't need any of that because God supplies the need because you tithe. And we don't beg you. But that's because we have the right kind of people who believe the word of God, act on the word of God. And it's just the way God say it. You shouldn't be bothered at church about 900 offerings of service. There's nothing wrong with taking a second offering if they got reasons against ministering and other things. But most of the time, we don't do it either. See, that comes from following the word. Things would be the way God wants if you follow the word. We will be healed in our bodies if we follow the word. We'll be blessed in our finances if we follow the word. We'll stay married happily if we follow the word. We will be healed and prosperous according as our mind, will, and our emotions prosper. The mind to know the word. The will to do the word. And the control of the emotions that we walk by faith, not by our senses or our emotions or our feelings. The word of God works when you apply it properly. Let's go a little bit further there. Let's go to a new verse. Proverbs 2, long as you're there. Proverbs 2, verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. God's will is that you be healed, but you got to obey the word of God. To receive the blessings God gave you, to obey it. Proverbs 2, verse 1. Are you there? Proverbs 2, verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 5. My son, if thou will receive my word. Now, did he say hear it? He said receive it. Do you know there's a lot of things I heard and I hadn't received? When I was young, my parents might have told me something. And yeah, I heard them. But I didn't receive it. I ain't pay no attention to it. But God's the same way. He says, my son, if you will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee. Where do you hide the word at? In your heart. How do you get in your heart? You have to meditate. What is meditating? Muttering, reciting to oneself over and over. Ponder the word. Think about the word. Don't just hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other. You will never have the word in your heart. Why can I quote so much scripture? Because I meditated it. Why can you quote so much scripture? Because you meditated. Anything you hadn't meditated, it doesn't become a part of you. And you need to have that word in you because the only word that works is the word that you have faith. And where is faith at? Faith is in the heart. For with the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes. The only word you is going to work for you. You may know the whole Bible in your head, but the only word that's going to work for you is the word you have in your heart. King David said it best. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin. You know why people sin against God? Because they don't have the word hidden in their heart. Even if they heard it, they didn't take the time to hide it in their heart. Because when you hide in your heart, it changes your actions and your reactions. And when you change your actions and your reactions, you change your results. And you're not going to change your results until you change your actions and your reactions. If we have the wrong actions, and we will have the wrong results, and nothing will change. Nothing will change. But my son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou will incline, give attention to, incline your ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Oh, man, that sounds like the rest of Proverbs. He that seeketh knowledge is wise. If you cry after knowledge, not do the best you can to stay at home and not get any, but cry after it. Find it. Where's it at? Where's knowledge at? I want to get it because I'm looking for it. The Bible says we have no excuses, for knowledge is at the city gates, crying out with a loud voice for whoever will come unto him. And those that shall not heed and come, wisdom will laugh at you and mock you when calamity has come upon you. We don't want calamity coming. We can hear the voice of wisdom and we seek it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou wilt seek her as silver. How many folks have got another day at work to make some more money? They'll take it. But if you say you got extra service in church, that's too much church. It's amazing how carnal people are. It's amazing how carnal they are. And one more day at work is not going to do anything for your eternity. But the answer that you believe in God for might be today in that service you skipped. And how many people, I tell you as a fact, I learned this a long time ago, and I've had several of you come tell me since then. You know and I know those days that the flesh is just bothering us about going to church. When we press in and go, we find out why we went. And when we don't go, we find out what we missed. Some of the greatest moves of God and some of the greatest messages for us. Sometimes we'll get the tape later and say, doggone it, that was exactly for me. Man, I missed that one. And I've done that so many times that I quit doing it. I've learned. That if Satan's really pushing me by not coming, this is when I was not a pastor. Pushing me by not coming, I was definitely going in. I was, the best chance he had was leave me alone. And I was going in too, but if he messed with me, I definitely was going. Because he was trying to prevent me from something. He was trying to cause something to happen to keep me from getting the word. Because God knew I needed that word. If thou seeketh the word of God, seeketh after wisdom as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the reverential fear and respect of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Ooh, what you could do if you get God's knowledge on things. If I knew how God said eat, if I knew how God said treat my wife, if I knew how God said treat your husband, if you knew what God said on how to raise your kids, if you got the knowledge of God, whoo, you'd be something. But instead, people disobey, and sickness sometimes come upon them because of disobedience. Let's go on and look at, as long as you're in Proverbs, look at Proverbs 3 again, verse 13. 3:13. Stay with me, Proverbs 3:13. Are you there? Proverbs 3:13, and we're going to read down quickly through verse 24. 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Now, if that man's happy, it probably implies he's healed too. Happy is that man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, wisdom and understanding, is better than the merchandise of money. Listen to what he said. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that with all thy getting, make sure you get understanding. You get wisdom, you get knowledge, you get understanding. Now, we explained before in Proverbs, what is knowledge? Knowledge is just raw factual data. If you hear me say something, or you hear somebody else say something, or you read something, it's true, you now have knowledge of it. Now that you have knowledge of it, you now have the opportunity to do what? To be wise. Because what is wisdom? The proper application of knowledge. You cannot be wise without knowledge. So you got to get knowledge, and now that you have knowledge, you can be wise. But now that you have knowledge, you also can be a fool. Because a fool is defined biblically as an individual who knows better but acts like he doesn't know better. A person who knows but acts like he doesn't know. That's a fool. Now you have to know before you can be a fool. If you don't know, all you can be is ignorant. But you have to have knowledge before you can be a fool. If I know how to eat and I don't eat like that, I'm now a fool with my diet. And a fool is far worse than an ignorant man. The Bible says a fool have said there is no God. So concerning that area in my life, eating right or something like that, if God's given me knowledge, I don't act like I have it. I'm saying there ain't no God in that area. God ain't said nothing about that important, because after all, if God says something, I follow it. But I'm just lying to myself. Just lying to myself. Let's go on here a little bit further. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. What verse are we on? 14. For the merchandise is the benefit or the produce of a person who gets wisdom and finds understanding. The merchandise of it is better than merchandise of money, and the grain thereof than fine gold. The gain from being wise. Do you know if you're wise, you can get money? If you understand how money works, you can get money. But if you get money, you might be a fool and lose it all. Average person that hits the lottery for over $5 million, they say it's flat broke in 5 years. Because it takes the same thing to get money as it takes to keep money. If you don't know how to get it, you will not know how to keep it. One example I use is MC Hammer. MC Hammer made, I think he made something like, I don't know, something like $80 million in 3 years. And then was flat broke after 3 years and got kicked out of his Bel Air estate. Isn't that a shame? Made more money than you and I will ever see and went to broke. He's doing better now. Matter of fact, last time I heard he was preaching. Then the ministry, his wife's working selling real estate, so she's got to work now. But isn't that a shame? Got all that money and poof, blew it away. Takes the same thing to get it as it takes to keep it, the same thing to keep it as it takes to get it. Just because you get it, that's the person who doesn't have the wisdom and the understanding, but they got the riches and the gold. They soon lost it. A fool and his wealth and his money are soon parted. A fool is somebody who ought to know better, but they don't do it. Now he knows, and I know, and you know, if you spend more money than you make, you're going to get broke. But sometimes fools keep doing it anyway. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and thereof than grain. She is more precious than rubies and all the things thou canst desire. Anything you desire cannot compare to you have an understanding and wisdom. Nothing can compare, because good wisdom and knowledge will bring all those other things. Length of days. There's that long life again. Length of days is in her right hand. The wise person, the person who has understanding concerning God's knowledge in the area of health, will have length of days and riches. How about that? Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches. I wish above all things that you prosper, have riches, and be in health. But it be according as your soul becomes wise and is made wise. The person who studies out and finds out God's way to eat and God's way to deal with money and God's way to be married, that person is far better than any money you can make. But people spend an extra day at work but miss another opportunity to get wisdom. That doesn't sound like the person God's talking about. So if you look at and getting a flavor and a feel for this person that God's talking about, that's going to be blessed coming in and blessed going out, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field. A lot of people who go to church are just not that person. They're not that person who seeks wisdom, who seeks opportunity to get wisdom. There are people that know wisdom is in a place and will sit home and watch TV instead of going to get wisdom. They'll sit home and watch TV instead of going to get wisdom. Now, that person is obviously in disobedience to a lot of things, and they do always, invariably, without question, pay for it. They always pay for it. They pay for it when they come and they have problems. Pastor, you know, my rent. Pastor this. Pastor, you know, the doctor said I got 3 weeks to live. Pastor this, pastor that. And I'm looking like, you know, all of a sudden I can be pastor now, right? I couldn't be pastor when I told you to come to church. But now I can be pastor when you need some money. Now I can be pastor when you need somebody to pray with you and pray for you. I said, God didn't want that to happen to you. And I'll pray with them. And if they're sensible and going to do better, I'll help them financially. But the key is it didn't have to be. God was far better than that. God had much better than that for you. God saw the need coming in advance and provided you the opportunity to get the information before it happened. There are things and there are people we buried in this church right now who are dead and been in a grave a couple of years now who wouldn't do what Dr. Colbert said in the seminar a year before they died prematurely. The information was there, but they would not do it. And they heard it, but they wouldn't do it. So they couldn't store up more treasure in heaven. They had to go home early. That's just an example of one saint who goes home early. But they didn't know either they were someplace where they weren't going to a church where they taught it because the preacher didn't think healing and health had anything to do with the word of God. They think it's just God's will. Let's go on a little further. Maybe we get to a bit of that. Verse 17. Let me hit there and keep moving. It's all so good. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. The way of wisdom, the way of following the word of God is a way of pleasantness. Wouldn't you like a pleasant life? And all her paths will lead you to peace. God's not making this up. This isn't some fancy scripture somebody throw in there. This is truth. This is the will of God for you, but there's a cost to getting it. But it is true. If you pay the cost, you will receive it. She is a tree of life, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So tree of life to them who lay hold upon her. Those who God make take it. No, those who choose to lay hold. I looked that up on that lay hold and it talked about fasten upon or seize. To that person that will fasten themselves upon the word of God, the wisdom of God, will seek it out, will seize it and say, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. I got it. I know my answer. That's mine. Lay hold of it and live according to it. And happy is everyone that retaineth that knowledge and that wisdom. Happy, fortunate to be envied, it says in Amplified, is that person who retains the knowledge of that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? For the Lord by, look at verse 19, if you got King James, for the Lord by, the word by wisdom, now you put a one by wisdom, that's number one. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by two, understanding, hath he established the heavens. Three, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. God, by wisdom, God had to use to be as awesome and prosperous and wonderful as he is, the same things he's given you, the tricks of the trade to use to make your life and your health awesome and wonderful. By wisdom, by understanding, and by knowledge. Those three things are what's going to prosper you in your finances, in your marriage, and in every other endeavor of your life. Those three things, by wisdom, applying the knowledge properly, by understanding, being able to go beyond it. I'll throw in for the people vision of what understanding. We talk about what knowledge is. Knowledge is raw factual data. Understanding, wisdom is the ability or applying that knowledge properly. You take the knowledge, you apply it properly. But the Bible says get knowledge, get wisdom. With all that getting, make sure you get understanding. Now, what's understanding? Now, I may understand the basics of 1 plus 1 and 2 plus 2. You know, in school, they don't teach you every possible combination of addition. You do know that, don't you? They may go to the 12 tables with multiplication. They don't teach you nothing beyond that. They test you beyond that, but they don't teach you any more beyond that. You learn the 12 tables and that's it. But how can you multiply 5,000 times 5,000 if they never taught you that? They gave you the facts of 1 times 1 and 3 times 3 and so forth, and they hoped in the middle of giving you those facts and giving you enough, and you being wise enough on your tests, acting like when they say 5 times 5 is 25, that you will write that down. You know you're a fool if you know that's the answer. You get a test and you'll write that down. But they're hoping by testing you on your factual knowledge of your timetables, that you write it down enough, you will be wise and put it down, that you will begin to understand how numbers work, so that although they never taught you 5,000 times 5,000, you'll still know the answer. So God can teach you facts from the Word of God. You can apply those facts, and all of a sudden you understand other things. There's things I understand in certain areas of life that I was never taught. Somewhere in the midst of just an understanding, a revelation just came. Revelation just came because I had studied the Word of God and had a lot of facts in that area. And then I applied it in my life and through counseling other people's lives, then all of a sudden understanding came. And then you're able to teach on a higher level and preach on a higher level because now you understand how some things go together. Although it was never put like that, you understand it from using it. You understand it from getting the knowledge, being wise with the knowledge, then understanding comes. How many people cost themselves tremendous understanding by not even getting the knowledge? They cost themselves. They cost themselves. By knowledge, the depths are broken up in verse 20 in the clouds. Now look at verse 21. My son, let not them. There's a question on them. What is them? Well, who is them? You know, what's the antecedent to the pronoun them? Well, what was them? Them is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. My son, let not wisdom, knowledge, and understanding depart from thine eyes. Now, that encompasses everything it takes to get it. You got to get wisdom, knowledge, so let not the sources to get the knowledge stop. Otherwise, you're not going to have the knowledge. Let not properly applying it be a doer of the word, not a hearer only stop. And then God will give you understanding. Don't let understanding stop. He's saying continuing that throughout your whole life, getting knowledge, storing up knowledge. My parents always taught us to read and to study things. And that's why I have the bookstore in there to get you all to read. I don't care if you don't read, start reading. He that stores up knowledge is wise. I'll tell you where your problems are. You don't know or you won't obey. And you won't obey because you don't understand. But if you do it, then you understand why you should do it. God said, don't eat the fat of the animal. God said, don't eat the thing with the cloven hoof or whichever way it is, I forget. But he said all that, but we ain't have no understanding back then, but he said it. But now science has understood why not to do those things. Why God said, don't eat the fish that don't eat fish that don't have scale. Because they're bottom feeders. Their meat is different. Pesticide, don't eat it. Why he said that, don't eat the horse, because the horse has pesticides. Why he said, don't eat the pig, because it's fat. It has pesticides. And he never changed his mind, said, start eating it, no matter what people misinterpret in the New Testament. He still said, those are not foods to eat. And they are killing people even today. There are people that have died, will die, and are dying, because they're breaking the commandment of God on what they should put in their mouth. Don't put anything in your mouth God didn't say was food. Or you rolling the dice and taking a chance. You may get by a time or two, but if you do it too much, God is not to be made a fool. God is not to be mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. You shall reap. I'm sorry, is that blatant, but that's what it is. And people are always trying to bend God. They're trying to bend his will. They're trying to make it fit their will. You better do like Jesus. Well, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Because God wasn't going to bend. He said, I've exalted my word by my name. I'm not changing. I change not. I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. I'm the same today, yesterday, forevermore. I was the same for the children of Israel. I'm the same for the children of God today. I ain't changing. I'm not bending. And God's got this strange thing about thinking he's in charge. And he always wants it his way. Boy, he just thinks he's God. Now, he knows he's God. The question is, who do we think he is? We think he's somebody we can bend to fit our whims and our wills and be unscriptural and twist scripture and then think everything's still going to work out. Everybody found out it doesn't work out. It's God's way or it's the highway. Really? Let's go on here, verse 22, and wind it down on this. So shall they be life. Oh, I love this. They talked about them. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep this. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. They'll help you hold up your head straight when you stand righteous before God. They will help cause you to stand up and not stand over. Whether it's physically sickness or whether it's just emotional with the head hang low. Every time they talk about the head hang low, they're talking about something kind of wrong with somebody. Or humped over, they're talking about something wrong with somebody. God said, no, your neck will be straight. You'll stand up in righteousness, proving the word and the will of God. Now, I've got a few more scriptures on that, but let's skip ahead a little bit. Go to John 15:7. Got to obey the word of God. If you want to be healed, you got to obey the word of God. John 15:7. John 15:7. Are you getting anything? John 15:7. I'm just asking. John 15:7. Are you there? Now, we alluded to this earlier in the series, but look here. Now, you got to obey God. You got to obey God if you want the blessings of God. You got to obey God. You got to find out what he said, and you got to obey it. Don't trust the preacher. I tell you all, don't trust me. I might be wrong. I'm a man. I'm fallible. I might be telling you something totally wrong, but I'm going to give you the scriptures I got for you. You study them out and see what the Spirit will say to you. Don't follow me. You follow me as I follow Christ, and you better find out if as I follow Christ is the case. That's why you study the word for yourself. If a man abide not in me, let's go to verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and he is withered, and men gather them and they cast them in the fire and they're burned. In other words, that's a prophetic word of Jesus saying, if you don't stay hooked up to the vine, you're going to hell because your life source is from the vine. Then he goes on to say, but if you will abide, abide means take up your residence or make as your abode. If you abide in me, if you live in me, if you move, you remember one scripture, God, we live and God, we move and God, we have our being. That's what abide means. If you abide in me, if you have your living, you have your moving, you have your being, your very existence is in God. There's nothing more important than God and his word. There's nothing more important than God. If you abide in me and my word has a residence, a permanent home, a perfect abode in you. Does the word of God live in you, or do you have a familiarity with it? Do you have an epic gnosis of what God teaches about health, or do you just kind of have a vague knowledge or no knowledge at all? Well, we can't claim the promise if we don't have it abiding in us. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then, and I'm going to add, like my Swedish professor used to say in college, then and only then, if and only if, he loved that phrase. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then and only then, if and only if, you shall ask what you will. How can I ask what I will of God when the will of God abides in me? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then and only then you can ask what you will and it will be given unto you. Because if his word abides in you, his word reveals his will, you won't ask what's not his will. And people ask all kinds of stuff that's not God's will and don't get prayers answered. Then what is God's will? They talk about if it be thy will, Lord. They ask for what's not his will with boldness and assurance. But what is his will, they throw in the end, if it be thy will. Is that not backwards or what? That's why we don't get answers in body Christ. That's why we have so many problems. We have not been taught the word. I don't know what Bible people been reading. They've just been preaching tradition, not preaching the word. Let's go on here. Look at first, we already went there. Let's go quick to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. I want you to put your eyes on it. We quoted it. I could quote it now, but let's take a look at it because I want to go on to one verse further than we went, emphasizing the point that if you want to be healed, not only do you have to be born again and realize that healing is a part, it's God's will to heal you. It's part of salvation, part of the Greek word sozo, translates salvation. You made whole in spirit, soul, and body. It's God's will you be healed. But you also, if you want to be healed, you got to obey the word of God and keep up with the word saying submit yourself to his word and his commandments so you can have long life and length of days be added to you. Not only do you have to do that, but you got to make peace with your fellow man. Some people are sick because they walk around unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will cause you to be sick. Well, you know, my sister stole my boyfriend way back in the fifth grade, and I ain't forgiven her since. My brother, I don't forgive him for making more money than me. That was supposed to be me. I don't forgive him from him being mama and dad's favorite. I don't forgive him because he got the inheritance. I didn't. Walk around unforgiveness will make you sick. They're just now starting to discover that bitterness makes you sick when the Bible says it. God said in the Bible that bitterness causes dryness of the bone. Bitterness and strife cause dryness of the bones. Now, God wasn't saying that figuratively. He was saying it as a fact. It brings sickness upon you to carry bitterness and unforgiveness. But, you know, don't take my word for it. Let's look at the word of God. Mark 11. And let's look at verse 22 through 26. Are you there? Verse 22 reads, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you have to believe that you receive them. When do you believe you receive them? When you pray. If you don't believe you receive them when you pray, you're not in faith. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, then you shall have." Shall have will be in the future, but you got to believe you have them now. But this is part I want to look at. Talking about if you want to be healed, you got to make peace with your fellow man, walk in forgiveness. And when you stand praying, long as you up asking God for stuff, long as you confessing what you believe in your heart, the mountains will move out your life. Long as you believe in God to heal you and to get that cancer mountain or that diabetes mountain or that high blood pressure mountain or that mountain of medicine in your cabinet out of your life. Long as you stand in there asking that and believing God for that, let's take a look here. When you stand praying, believe that you receive it when you pray, and if you have aught. If you have something against any, don't care who they are, how old or young they are. Some folk got aught against the white man. They may not have it against any person, they just don't like any of them. Some folks got it against the black man. Not any particular black man, I just got aught against them. Some people got aught against the rich folk. No particular rich folk, just I don't like rich people. Some Democrats got aught against every Republican. Some Republicans got aught against every Democrat. Folk just go around having aught, don't they? But the Bible says, if you have aught against anybody, if you have aught against anything, anybody, if you have aught, you ought not have it. If you have aught against any, oh, I got to go back to 25 and catch that again. When you stand praying, as long as you stand up to asking God for stuff and believing that you receive and believing at that point that you have it, but let me add something to it. And when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive when you stand praying. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But look here in verse 26. And if you choose not to forgive, but to stand there and pray anyway, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And sin separates you from God. So if you got the sin of unforgiveness against a group of people, an individual person or anybody else, if you got aught against them, you might as well not waste your time praying. I tell folks, go make it right with your brother. Go make it right with your brother before you start trying to ask God for anything. Whether you believe in God for healing, whether you believe in God for financial prosperity, go make it right with your brother first. Don't walk around in unforgiveness thinking God's going to hear your prayers. Now, you know, we got to have more than one scripture because you can't just believe one thing. Let's look at a few more. Turn to Matthew 6:14. Matthew, go back to Matthew 6:14. You still moving? Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14. Are you there? Matthew 6. You there? Verse 14. And we're going to read through 14 and 15. Now, look here in the same thought there, same train of thought about forgiveness. Matthew 6:13. And they cast out many devils and anointed them with oil, many that were sick, and healed them. And I'm in Mark. I was about to say that's talking about healing, but I don't think that's the one I want. I was going to finish because sometimes I think it's not the one I want. And I keep reading. So that's it. But I was like, well, that's healing, but that ain't the one I want. All right. Let me get to Matthew 6:14. Thank you. Matthew 6:14. Here we go. And if you forgive, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men's trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, if you got a red letter edition, what color is that? And what does that mean? Jesus said that if you don't forgive. Now, Mark said it to somebody else. Maybe you don't like Mark. Maybe you don't trust Mark. But Jesus said it right there. Jesus said, I'm telling you straight up, if you don't forgive and walk in forgiveness, God will not forgive you. And sin separates you from God and God's not going to hear your prayers. What can stop you from being healed? Unforgiveness, disobedience, not being born again. Because healing is the children's bread. Remember yesterday? So if you be not a child, you may stay not healed. But if you be a child and you have faith to understand that it's purchased in salvation, you can believe God to be healed. And then also you can make sure, hey, my healing and manifesting, what's wrong? I'm missing God somewhere. I'm missing God. I've been there before. There's things God been telling you for years and years and years. Nothing major in your mind, but you just hadn't done it. And when you do it, it's amazing how, bam, the gate opens up and your healing manifests. You have to get right with God to receive all the blessings because you have to obey his commandments that you might have lived for days and have long life. And that implies, again, you must know the word. Don't trust the preacher to give you the word. You have to know the word. Thank God if you got a good preacher, but you got to know the word. You got to study it anyway. All of us are wrong somewhere. Maybe me. I'm wrong nowhere where I know. And if somebody showed me, I'll change. I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. Let's go here. Let's add one more. First John. Let's go to Matthew 18, 21. As long as you're Matthew, Matthew 18, 21. Matthew 18, 21. Matthew, are you there? Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him, talking to Jesus. Matthew 18, 21. You there? Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter would ask that question. Lord, look, I'm about to go off on somebody. Now, I know I heard you preach a sermon the other day talk about forgive folks, but what I mean, he said forgive, period, and Peter trying to stipulate, but how many times do I have to forgive him? He said, if you got aught against any, and he gonna come ask Jesus, well, Lord, you know, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till maybe seven times? I think somebody had just sinned the eighth time and Peter was ready to let go on him. To set one time less than what he's done to me, Lord, seven times. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, if you study biblical numbers and all that, that represents eternity. Represents infinity. It's not 490. It represents eternity, infinity. Until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Keep score. Want to check up on his servants. Want to maintain unforgiveness. I want to make sure I remember what they did to me. I'll never forget it. See, that's what people walk in unforgiveness. They remember it. They remember it. And when he is, so is the kingdom of God. Jesus is still answering his question. He says 70 towards 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that had payment. You remember this story when a man came and he got forgiven? Now, my Bible says it was $52,800,000 in silver. That's a whole lot of debt. I don't know what he did to get that kind of debt, but my Bible says that it says 10,000 talents, which is equal to 52,800,000 pieces of silver or in silver. But for as much as he had not to pay the money, his Lord commanded him to be sold in the debtor's prison, his wife, his children, everybody, until they earned enough money. Back then, they had a good thing called debtor's prison. You don't need bankruptcy. You go to debtor's prison, you straighten out. See, but the world now is not even that righteous. They'll just let you file bankruptcy and still have a problem and suffer the bill collectors the second time and try and file bankruptcy again, have your credit messed up. They won't even present the parameters to help people have discipline because they want people to give into the flesh. They make it easy for you to give into your flesh. You may be at the limit on one credit card. They'll send you another one or send you a little note saying, because you're a good person, we'll raise your limit to get you in further debt. Watch out. You're telling on yourself now. Oh, yeah, they raised the limit a time or two. You can't do a good customer because you're a sucker. When they raised my limit, it's because I was a sucker. I was riding the limit. So they said, hey, they're going to stop spending, and I think we can get a little more out of them, and they're still paying regular, so let's raise the limit, and let's just keep going until they don't pay regular anymore. Because that way we can get more interest out of them. Let them be my cash cow. The word of God said you will be the lender. The Bible says I will make you the lender and not the borrower. Now, the lender's called the investor. And he collects the interest. The borrower is called the person who pays the interest. We have to have faith to believe that God wants us being able to pay cash for stuff. It's not a sin to use a credit card. If it was a sin to borrow, then God would have been a sin to make us lenders because we're contributing to the sin of borrowing. It's not a sin to borrow. I did not pay cash for my house to borrow. But whether you pay cash for your shoes or something minor like that, or whether you just wait till you have the money, that's a whole nother story. It's not sin, but we're talking about a matter of getting knowledge, getting wisdom, and getting some understanding. It's not a sin, just You understand you're not going to be financially blessed paying way more than you should pay because you financed them $50 shoes for 5 years on Visa and paid $400 for them because you didn't want to wait. Didn't want to go to the Goodwill. Didn't want to ask your brother, could he spare a pair? You see what I mean? But for as much as he had not to pay the money, he didn't have it, couldn't pay it if he wanted to. The Lord of the house, the said, look, send that servant, his wife and all them children over to the debtor's prison and to the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and he worshiped the man. And he said, Lord, have patience with me. I'll pay it. Don't throw me in jail. Don't throw my wife and my kids in debtor's prison. We're going to pay it. I'm going to pay it. Just give me a little more time. Well, the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt. He released him of the debt. He just said, don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Obviously, the man was loaded. He said, don't worry about it. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Jesus, please, Lord, come into my life and save me now. I thank you, God, that I've confessed Jesus. I am born again. I thank you, Father, for forgiving me all my sins. Hey, I don't appreciate what them black people did to me. I don't appreciate what them white people did to me. Don't miss the illustration. Don't miss the point here. Jesus is teaching something that these little activist groups don't teach. Whether it's the Aryan Nation white activist group or whether it's the black group activist group, that ain't Bible. That ain't Bible. That's division. And God has in the body of Christ people of all colors. You need to quit siding up with folk in other colors around their little causes and problems. My God supplies all my need, whether I belong to the group or not. Don't contribute to division. Contribute to bringing together. Try and identify the body of Christ and work with the body of Christ. And God says, I have a people of every tongue and every nation, every kindred. He's got people all over the globe who we should call brother more than our own flesh and blood brother who won't receive Jesus. And some folk don't see it like that. They got soul brothers. They got Aryan brothers. They got all these other little groups they get in that literally, if it divides you against somebody else in the body of Christ, be careful about doing it. Give you the great illustration and let you learn what group you belong to. If Jesus were to part the skies wide open and he said, I want all the white people to come to the north of me. I want all the black people to come to the south of me. I want all the red and yellow people to come to the east of me. I want all the brown people to come to the west of me. And I want all the Christians to come with me. Where are you going? That's your group. And do you know some folk of all them colors going to come in that line going with you in that group? That's your family. Jesus' mother came to the door. Learn from Jesus. Jesus' mother came to the door and said, Master, your mother and your brother at the door. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother except those that hear the word? I wouldn't talk to my mother like that. Jesus talked to his mother like that, though. And the Bible said he was without sin. We say that was disrespecting your mother. Favoring the things of God is not disrespect. You favor the things of God. He was up there doing the will of God. And his mother talked about, Jesus, come here. Go feed the cat or something. I don't know what it is. Where you been? What you doing? You remember, now don't forget Jesus. Jesus was the same one when he was a young man and they had the census and he got left behind. They figured when they were going back after having the census, you remember that story? Where they had to go back to get the census and they went back to the place of their birth because Joseph had to give the census. They went back, then they came back and they thought Jesus was playing with some of the relatives and was in the crowd. They got all the way back and they found out Jesus wasn't even with them. So they had to go back to get him. They find him on the way and they like, Jesus, boy, how many times I told you don't be running off? What you doing? And Jesus said, no, you not. I'm about my father's business. And he was without sin. But he told his mother, do you not know I was about his mother and his father? But we would call that disrespectful. You better be about your father's business instead of your father's and mother's business. Because the best you can do for your parents is you follow God. The best you can do for your wife is you follow God. The best you can do for your husband is you follow God. The best you can do for your kids is you follow God. And you do what's right anyway. No man has given up mother, brother, sister, lands, or anything and not received 30, 60, 100-fold in this life and in the next, Jesus said. He said, I came not to put a man together with his son and a mother with a daughter, but I came to bring a sword to divide asunder a mother and her daughter, a father and a son. What do you mean by that? He knows that when you follow him, everybody in your family is going to choose to follow. And he says, I'm here to divide you. For what fellowship have darkness with light? And a lot of folks won't break that. They won't break their little black groups and their little white groups and their little family groups. They won't break that. When I'm with my unsaved family, my purpose is to minister to them. And I try and minister to them and I try and be an example to them. Because if they ain't saved, I want to get them saved more than I want to have a piece of chicken with them. I want to get them saved. If I'm with old friends that are sinners, my purpose is I'm a mission to get them saved. I'm not going to fellowship. If I go back to a high school reunion, I'm going to find unsaved ones. I want to minister to them. I'm not going to fellowship with them. I want to tell them about Jesus. That's the only purpose I have with a sinner, is to get them saved, to be an example of Christ before them. Why? Because my life is not my own. I'm dead and buried with Christ. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I'm new. I'm an ambassador of Jesus. I have to say what he say. I have to do what he do. Jesus came not to please himself. Jesus came not to party and have a good time. Jesus came for that which was lost. And he says, you're here for those who are lost. I tell you about that Christmas thing. You know, we go and you buy these gifts for under $10 and under $15. They won't sell them no other time of year but Christmas. And we go get these gifts for people in the office. We celebrating Christmas by giving this unsaved person a pen, a pencil, a piece of paper, a gift for under $15. And we won't even give them the gift of Jesus. They don't even know we're saved. But we're giving them a gift to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Now, how asinine is that? And we dare say we're Christians. Yes, we are. We're just ignorant ones. But stop and think about how God must see that. You're celebrating my birthday by giving somebody some gift you bought for them. Probably went in debt for it anyway. And you believe me to get out of debt, and you're working against me by going buying stuff for sinners and ain't even offering them Jesus once. You didn't offer them the gift of eternal life one time. But yet you're buying them little office gifts. Well, I see you don't like that. Let's go on. Before I get myself in trouble. If so, anyway, you remember that one scripture, they said Jesus preached it and they were offended. They followed him no more. From that day forward, they followed him no more. Stay with the word. Endure the chastening of the word. If it's wrong, forget it. I'm just wrong. Forget about it. If it quiets you up, a lot of times, because you know in your spirit is real. That's exactly what we do. Don't let it hurt. Just say, oh, me. Ouch, Lord. Thank you for loving me enough to chasten me, God. I just didn't know. But now I know I can change. I can be different because I want to be pleasing to you, Lord. Where are we at? Verse what? 28. Okay, let's hit 27 again. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and he had mercy on the man and forgave him his debt. He forgave him. He forgave him. This huge amount that he owed him, he forgave him. What did God forgive when he saved you? Every sin you ever have or will commit, God forgave you so great a sin. And who is it that's done something to you or your people or your little group or moved in your neighborhood or stole your dog who you can't forgive? When God forgave you so great a debt. That's what Jesus is trying to teach them. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And it says in my Bible, $44. Now, the man forgave him in silver, 52,800,000. And he held this guy on $44. The man, his fellow servant, which owed him 100 pence, which is $44. And he laid hands on that man. He grabbed him. He grabbed him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that which thou owest. I need my 44 bones. You got to pay me. Pay me. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet, and that man besought him just like he besought the other man, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee. And he would not have patience with him. But he went and cast that man into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, because they said, how can that man know? He just told us, man, the master is such a good master. He forgave me. He forgave me all my sins. He cleansed me of all unrighteousness. But you better watch them people. They were very sorry, and they came and they told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, he said unto that wicked servant, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Because thou just asked me, because you desired it of me, I forgave all that debt. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors, a type of hell. You won't forgive people. God won't hear your prayers. God won't forgive you. Sin separates you from God. You'll be delivered to the tormentor. And you might have gone to church every Sunday they had church. You might have paid tithe all the time, but you wouldn't walk in forgiveness. The tormenting that comes upon us could very well be sickness manifesting when God intended it not to manifest. But when we sin and we don't realize what great debt, there's nobody out there who you have a right to walk in unforgiveness to. I don't care if it's your divorce, the husband you divorced, the wife you divorced. I don't care if somebody abused you. It hurts you way more than hurts them to walk in unforgiveness. You know, most people are in these psycho wards and in this grief therapy and all this kind of stuff because they walk around with bitterness and unforgiveness. And if they let it go, they'll be healed. Psychologically, emotionally, they're carrying bitterness. God wants you healed. It's God's will you be healed, but you got to obey his word. And part of his word right here is saying, if you walk around in unforgiveness and you just don't pay attention to how much I forgave you and don't focus on how much mercy and grace I've given you and give that to them, then you're going to be delivered to the tormentor till you pay it, till you forgive them and make it right. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, in case you didn't think, you thought Jesus went to another story and was talking about something else, in case Peter didn't get the point. Lord, how many times shall I forgive him? Eight? Seven, maybe? I'm on eighth time? Seven? Jesus said, no. 70 times seven. Let me tell you a little story. This means God always forgave us, is still forgiving us, so when can you stop? At 490 times? And you will be delivered likewise if we act like that. Shall the heaven, so likewise shall my heavenly Father, verse 35, do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Everybody, rich, poor, black, white, stole your job, took your boyfriend, your girlfriend, hit your favorite car, stole your car, killed your kids. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I remember at my grandfather's funeral, he had had a young lady, she was kind of a new driver, I believe, and she hit him and broke his hip, and he eventually subsequently died. And some of the family walked in love and forgave the girl. And see, the family was nice enough to come to his funeral. Because, you know you're the one who did it, and you know you might be facing a hostile crowd. Their family took the time to come out to, now, my dad was the only son, the only child, so he's the next of kin. And we're his kids, so we're all there, we're the people of honor. I was blessed to see they came. Because I know even at that young age, I was in high school, it was my senior year, I think, junior year, and I knew what it took to come, and some of my relatives were hostile towards them. I knew what it took for them to come. Me being mad at them was not gonna bring him back. And the girl didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. And some people were kind of hard. They wouldn't even talk to them. I heard a few whisper about her. That's not the way to treat people. That's not the way to treat people. And if you go around treating people like that, God is not to be made a fool of. Whatsoever you reap, that also shall you sow. If you sow unforgiveness, you will reap unforgiveness. If you sow bitterness, you will reap bitterness. Bitterness will dry out the bones. It causes disease and other kind of problems. I mean, am I misunderstanding the scripture here? Did I miss something here? There's more than one scripture on this. This does make sense, doesn't it? But this is the key to the word, to the things we haven't been taught that we must apply in order to get the results. God's will is that everybody be healed, and everybody follows his word will be totally healed. Nobody is supposed to be saved and has to be sick. Nobody. Everywhere we're sick at, disobedience, unforgiveness, ignorance of the word. Stay ignorant, could we skip church or go to a church with a loony pastor? If we go to a good church, we don't read when we go home. We never meditate to get in our heart. So therefore, it's not there. So therefore, even though we agree with it in our mind, we do what E.W. Kenyon called mental assent. It's not faith. Faith is of the heart. Something in your head is not faith. Just because you believe in your head, that's not faith. You believe it with all your head, but that's not faith. You have to believe it in your heart. And if you have to meditate, it's not in your heart. There's a lot of things I know I just don't believe. I may pretend like I believe them, but I don't. You know when you believe it, you're benefiting from it. Because faith is of the heart, and faith always works. If you're not benefiting from it, there's people who believe they have faith to be healed, but they're not healed, they don't have faith. What do I tell them to do? Don't get mad at yourself. Faith comes by hearing. Meditate the word some more. Buy these tapes. Buy the healing school tapes. Find anybody's tapes you can on healing. Look every scripture. Get a concordance at the bookstore and look up every scripture that says healing or health and study it. Look up every scripture that says sickness and saw what kept them sick and what got them healed. And then you figure out for yourself, you dig in the word, the deep things belong to the deep, the Bible says. Revelation is deep. Do you know all the revelations laying on the top of the word of God got found many years ago? The stuff you got to get now is to dig. Jesus saved has been picked up and found, and every preacher teaches that right. Jesus saves. But when you got to dig down to how does he heal, how do I receive my healing, they won't dig. They still around there walking around on the surface. It takes study to dig. The Bible commands us in Timothy to study to show thyself approved, a workman not to be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth. If you can rightly divide it, you must be able to. And he ain't talking to sinners. He's talking to Christians. He said, Christians, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who's not to be ashamed. A lot of ministers ought to be ashamed. A lot of Christians ought to be ashamed. But if we study, we'll be able to show ourselves approved as workmen of the word of God, and we will not be ashamed because we will rightly divide the word of God, not continue to wrongly divide it. There would not be denominations if there weren't people wrongly dividing the word. There's one church and there's one Bible. And I'll say this, I said it a time or two, but I'll say it. Really, I'm not talking about denominational people or the church or denomination, but denominations are not of God. God is not Baptist, he's not Pentecostal, he's not Methodist, he's not any of these names of churches. He's not none of those. Where do you see in the Bible God said, and of my people I would divide them up into denominations? Denominations are man-made. Because somebody believes it this way. We believe it like this. But we believe it like that. But we believe, I don't care what you believe it like. Study the whole Bible, put it all together, study. Show yourself approved, and if we follow the word, we'll all be speaking the same thing. Jesus said before he left, say, Father, I pray that you would make them one, even as you, not five different denominations, not 50 denominations, that you would make them one, even as you and I are one. That they'll be in one place speaking the same thing, the things that we speak. And how many of us will honestly admit we went to church for years and years and years, and we really know now how ignorant we were? We didn't even have a chance of speaking the same thing. We just believed what the denominational truths were. We had no chance of being right. You can't be right and wrong at the same time. You can't walk in the light of the revelation when you have no light nor any revelation. And remember, like I always said about some of the hooping and hollering churches, perspiration and inspiration does not equal revelation. No matter how good a show you put on, and you break it down, and you get in the hanky, and you're like, oh, God, and you're doing all that kind of stuff. Hey, man, you're doing all that sweating. Something wrong with you. You need to go see a doctor. You got a glandular problem. You ain't got to be doing all that sweating. That ain't about nothing. And I don't mean to put down folk in their style, and I don't mind that style. I've known some tremendous preachers who are a lot more exuberant than me, and they're teaching the word and do a great job. It's not the style, it's the purposelessness of what they're saying if they're not saying something. And you know and I know, most people do all that hooping and hollering because they ain't got nothing to say. And they're going to take three pieces of revelation and drag it out for an hour and a half. And at the end, you look down and you don't even need to take notes. You can remember what they said. And every scripture they gave, you can remember it because they ain't gave many. That's what I'm talking about. The body of Christ not getting the word. And God says in James 3:1, don't all you desire to be masters from these teachers, ministers, or examples to anybody else? Don't all you desire to be masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation? Don't all you desire to be masters, for you shall receive the greater condemnation. There's a lot of pastors standing. The people Jesus got on the most were the religious people today, the scribes and the Pharisees. And these ministers here got judgment coming, a lot of us. We got judgment coming because he gave us a responsibility to serve God. In membership class, Dan teaches that class. And what's the responsibility? You have to follow you follow God above the pastor, but then you do have to follow the word of God. You have to flow with what's going on. You have to hook up. It doesn't matter what you feel about it. You got to flow. Now, these people in here now are growing because you're flowing. You're flowing with what I'm saying. You may not like it, but you come back the next night to get it again. Then you come back the next night. There's a lot of people already know they ain't going to like it. That's why I didn't announce it was on health. Because I don't know if some of y'all would come if I said it was on health. I wasn't going to tell you nothing. I let you show up and you just see. But wouldn't it be nice if all I can just say, God's got something for us tonight and everybody came? Oh, God's got something? I'm coming. If God's got something for me, I'm coming. You know, that's where it's supposed to be. Pastors are supposed to have authority over people. They're supposed to have authority. I'm not talking about your Lord, but they're supposed to have spiritual authority. If I said God laid on my heart like he did once before, only once in 12 years, that the people at this church should read John, I think it was the Gospel of John or something, read it this week, you don't want to know how many people didn't pay me one ounce of attention. But yet they want me to be their pastor. That's like me saying the pastor's the shepherd. Sheep, let's go over here and drink water right here. The Lord told me for this congregation to go drink water here. And then you, instead of hearing bad, bad, you're hearing nah. Instead of hearing sheep, you're hearing goats. Nah. Let's go do nah. Sheep just bad, bad. Goats, nah. Let's all study and get a certain thing about how to eat and how to do that. Nah. Jesus called the children of Israel, you stiff-necked, wicked generation of vipers. Actually, he called the scribes and Pharisees, the ministers, the vipers, but he called the people stiff-necked. Stiff-necked because they wouldn't do right. They wouldn't do right. How many people want a pastor, but don't want anybody to pastor them? They don't want anybody to pastor them. I share it with Dan and Helen because I'm close to them. I work with Dan every day, and of course I sleep with Helen, so I'm close to her too. But, I tell them all the time my heart. They know my heart. And sometimes it infuriates me when you don't have the saints. I said, you know what? I'll tell you all straight up. There are things that I would tell them, but they're not yet able. There's meat I want to give them that I know would help them, but they're not able to receive it. I have to give them milk. I have to give them milk. They're old enough that they should be at the point where they could receive more meat. I told Dan, I'm going to have to back it down some because attendance gets funny. If I teach too strong, too long, the non-saints get gone. You start preaching the word, it'll purify the church. And watch, when I start preaching some candy, they all come back. God wants you blessed and God wants you to have $1 million. They'll come out to droves. If I told them we were having a prosperity seminar on how you can get the 100-fold return, they'd bring friends. I've been preaching long enough to know that's true. But the problem is that shows how carnal the church is. And it's not my fault because I ain't teaching to be like that. It's the pastor before me that taught them to be like that. Now, my job is to unteach them to be like that. But God said, Joy of Faith Christian will be a maturation station. It will be a place where people will come to mature in the word of God. And the only way to mature is to be told where you're wrong and to be told it unequivocally with no misunderstanding. What you taught was wrong. Now, let me show you why it's wrong. Don't believe me. Let me show you why it's wrong. That's the word. That's the word of God. We're going to go ahead and finish because they're waving at me. The clock's about to run out. Realize that we've summed up to this point and we'll hit something else tomorrow. It is God's will that you be healed. Don't let the devil or preacher or anybody on TV or radio tell you anything else. You don't have to be sick. You just got to figure out what's my part to get my healing. It's going to be, we'll talk a little bit about diet tomorrow and things like that and what God's word says about that. But we talked about be born again because healing is the children's bread. We talked about obeying the word of God. You have to obey. What has God told you? I did not tell you forsake not the assembly of the saints as is the manner of son. Who said that? God said it. God doesn't want you to come to church because he's trying to stop your fun. He's trying to stop the devil from slapping your head up against the wall so often. He's trying to help you. And I tell people, if you don't like this church, this is not the only good church in town. We have a flavor here. Other churches have other flavor. Maybe you don't like chocolate. You need to go get vanilla. But the key is wherever you believe God told you to be there, God knew who was there, what they would teach, and that it was for you if you believe you're supposed to be there. School of the Bible is for every member of this church. And some folk don't come because they say that's too much church. Well, you need to go somewhere where they got a little less church at. Because obviously this one's too much for you. It's not an option. It's not a prerogative. This is what God told us to do. This is who we are. Either you with us or you against us. Not against the whole body of Christ, just against this fellowship. I'm not for what pastors do. Pastor ain't hearing from God about no school of the Bible, no seminars and crusades. See, go where you can get the word because that's where you're going to be the greatest blessing at. I'm not for everybody. You ain't for everybody. But I want everybody to get where they want to be more than I want a church member. I want everybody to get where they can receive the word of God because that's what's going to grow you up. Where you can say, bah, not nah. Let's close in prayer. We're growing together in the word. Father God, we thank you so much for your word and for wisdom. We thank you, Father, that you articulated clearly to us, Father. It's not difficult to understand. It's not presented with questions and raising questions, Father, but it's clear, it's lucid, it's understandable, Father. We thank you, Lord, that because it's your will that we know it, you teach it to us by your Holy Spirit in a way we can understand it and apply it into our life. We thank you, Father, for calling us unto this time and this place. And we thank you, Lord, that you're helping us to know how to be healed. And even tomorrow, Father, you'll help us to get the things that the people need to hear for tomorrow, Lord, that they can go out and act on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.